Hey y'all, I'm Sammy, your host of the You Are Made for More podcast. John 10:10 is a promise that Jesus came down to earth so that we would have life and have it abundantly. My prayer is that this podcast and all of the content that we put out will remind every student that they were made for more simply because of who they were created to be. My own walk with the Lord and my relationships with the teenagers that I disciple have shown me that once we understand whose we are, the game changes, or in other words, transformation happens. Our identity changes everything. We recognize that it takes investment and partnership between the church and parents to raise teens who know and believe who they are in Jesus, and we're here to help with that. So buckle up as we take this journey and take a look at what God has to say about friendships, relationships, sexuality, dating, and all the things in between. Today on the You Are Made for More podcast, we have a very, very special gift. My twin sister, Mish, is joining me. You guys have heard me mention her before, but today we're really going to take a dive into who we are and talk about our struggle with identity growing up. I am so thankful that I'm a twin. It's really cool to have someone who grew up in the same environment as you during the same time as you with a totally different personality and a totally different perspective. Mish and I are really similar, but we're also so different. And I hope that this conversation with her enlightens your hearts about who I am and where I come from, and that you can also learn from her struggle with trauma, identity, and how she's leaned into God to make her a person capable of loving and being loved. If you know anything about my story, you know that Mish and I didn't speak English until we were 5 years old, due to a disorder with our speech development. That affected both of us similarly, but also very differently, as you'll hear us talk about throughout our conversation. Mish lives in Swickley, Pennsylvania, where she serves as the Assistant Director of Children's Ministries at St. Stephen's Church. She is also engaged to be married to her fiancé Caleb in March of 2020, and together they love the kiddos of their community really well. I'm excited for you to hear this conversation because I think it's really important, like every other conversation we have on this podcast. But like I said before, your struggle with identity may not look the same as mine does, but I believe in some way, shape, or form, we all struggle with believing and living into who we were created to be. And by opening up conversations about this, we actually are able to invite the light into the dark places in our hearts where fear, insecurity, and trauma live, and Satan is able to thrive. That being said, we're going to dive right in to my conversation with Mish. Hey, Mish. Thanks for being on the You Were Made for More podcast today. This is really weird because I feel like we're just having a conversation like we normally do over coffee, but this time we're recording and have a microphone recording what we're saying. So that's kind of weird, but I'll take it because I'm really pumped to get to hear what you're going to share with us today, just about where the Lord is teaching you things and all of that fun stuff. But before we start, I already kind of intro'd you. People know you're my twin sister, all of that fun stuff. But I want to start by asking you to give us a Spark Notes version of who you are. I always ask our listener, our guests to do that, so our listeners kind of get like a snapshot in your words of what your day-to-day is like, what you're all about, something that you're loving. Tell us who Mish is. And this is going to be weird because Mish and I have the same voice, so you might have trouble identifying which one of us is talking, but here we go. Take it over, Mish.
Well, I'm so excited to be here. It's kind of weird. I'm super nervous to podcast. I'm like, what do I say? What do I do? It's just very odd. But we're going to do it. I gave her the DL as we, before we started. But if I had to podcast with anyone, it'd be you. So, like Sammy said, my name's Michelle, but all my people call me Mish because it just fits my personality way better. I'm passionate about a lot of things, some of which include how we do mission in our everyday life, children, the church, parenting, relationships, and I love the Enneagram. So those are just a few things I'm passionate about. I'm an 8 for those of you that will wonder at the end of the episode. But most
on that note, this is Sammy. On that note, Mish is an 8, which is what?
The Challenger.
Okay, you're also, like, in the process of becoming an Enneagram coach.
Yes, I'm super passionate about the Enneagram. I think it's, I talk about it, we'll talk about it a little bit, I think, but.
Okay, because I know some people are weirded out by it,
yeah,
so
yeah.
I want to get your thoughts on how it's a spiritual tool and not
spiritually. It's, like, one of the best tools I've ever used, to point my relationships and myself back to Jesus. So we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Side combo. All right. Keep going.
But most importantly, the thing that I'm really, really passionate about in life is fighting to follow and choose Jesus in everything I do and everything I say. Because following him is a fight, and I don't think that a lot of people realize that following him is what drives and guides and changes all of the other passions that I just told you about. For example, the Enneagram. Like, I love the Enneagram because I first and foremost love Jesus. I love my people because I first and foremost love Jesus. So, on the daily, you can find me in my office at work, probably doing something super unglamorous that, like, only a person in children's ministries would do, or on a coffee date with one of my girlfriends or my great fiance, or on a walk listening to an audiobook or podcast, or hanging out with some of my little children who are precious and my most wonderful friends in life.
Not her children.
Yeah,
other people's children.
Yes, other people's children. I don't have any biological children, but I always say I'm a spiritual mother, and I take that role very seriously. It's one of my favorite things in life.
Awesome. Well, now that we kind of have a little bit of background of who you are, you said a lot of info about who you are in that little Sparks Notes version, but I really asked Mish to join me on the podcast today to talk about identity. As most of our listeners know, I started Abundant Life, You Were Made For More, out of my own struggle with identity. So I wanted other people to realize that once they know whose they are, for example, knowing that you are a child of God and what he says about you as his child, you will then know who you are. And that identity empowers you to live your life much differently than you did before. So I want people to grab a hold of the abundant life that we're offered in the Bible and that Jesus died for them to have. I think that way too many people go about their lives and not grabbing a hold of that when it's free. It is a fight, like you said, but it is a free gift that we get. And I went way too long without doing that. And I know you did too, because we grew up in the same house, had the same story growing up. So I know that's part of your journey too. But start off by telling us a little bit about what your faith journey looked like. What was your life like as a child, and when did you meet Jesus? And sometimes that can be different than, like, when you actually came to believe in him, you know? So what did that look like for you? When did you start pursuing him?
Yeah, this is kind of weird because we grew up in the same house, but yet
share
again,
a room,
share a room, but yet again, I think, like, like, the way that Jesus weaves into our stories is very different. So, well, I grew up in a household where we went to church with my mom until we were confirmed, so, like, around middle school age, and then we stopped going, and I never went back until I actually met the Lord. So, growing up, very few adults in my life, I would say, followed Jesus with everything. I didn't see a lot of, like, talking about Jesus and how he is present in our everyday lives. We never really prayed in our house together as a family. We never read the Bible together. So all I knew about Jesus was what I got on Sundays at church. And as a child who wasn't really that interested, I would say, I didn't comprehend the gospel. But when I was 17 years old, right before college, my friend invited me to a camp, a Young Life camp.
Young Life.
Holla, love Young Life. I was a leader in college for 4 years. But I thought it looked really fun. They had this picture of, like, the blob on the poster.
See, I remember
that. And I was like, yo, I want to jump on that blob.
Me, you should, like, literally, I think, signed up to go to a Young Life camp, paid however much you paid to
I thought I was paying $600 to, like, get wrecked by the blob, and instead I got wrecked by Jesus. More on that later. So, I went to camp and, like, did not know that the Lord would use that week to dramatically shift my life. I was living a life that consisted of striving for affection and acceptance and perfection in just, like, all the wrong places. At the time, like, coming out of graduating high school, I was dating this boy who treated me horribly, and I didn't have deep relationships. And the relationships that I considered to be deep were, in fact, very broken and, like, had no hope in them. And I distinctly remember that week when I realized that everything that I am and do should flow out of everything that Jesus is and everything that he's done for me. And because of this, like, I remember having a conversation with the Lord and, like, actually understanding the gospel for the first time. And then after that, it was like college was a very transformative time in my faith journey, because I, like, entered into it on fire for Jesus and, like, very clueless in a lot of ways. But, like, the Lord still uses that. So,
awesome. Our stories are, I love the fact that we met Jesus in the same summer, just in different ways.
Great example of God's grace.
Yeah, which was, like, really cool because we were going to different colleges, studying different things. We had different, we still have different passions, but, like, God met us both in the same summer, and we got to pursue him together, even though we were at different universities doing different things. In the summers, we would get to serve together. Right.
And I remember Sammy met the Lord, like, 2 weeks before me at a different camp, and I remember her telling me about it, and I was like, happy for her and not judgmental at all, but I was like, yo, we've went to church since we were, like, 2.
Mm-hmm.
We got confirmed. That's all you need. Like, I didn't understand what she was talking about.
And I was, like, pumped. So she was like, why are you so excited? Because our church experience was not very, like, full of excitement, you know?
No, it wasn't very, like, integrated into life.
Right.
So it was hard to, like, connect it to, like, yeah, excitement and choices and things like that.
Yeah, so, but anyway, the reason I bring that up is it's just, like, a cool example of, I mean, not a lot of people even have siblings that love Jesus, but, like, for your twin sister to love Jesus
and to meet him in the same summer as you two, so we can kind of be on the walk together and figure it out together has been just really, really cool. And I don't think I noticed that until one of my mentors was like, you realize that that's, like, really odd that, like, that doesn't happen for a lot of people. So we grew up in the same house, met Jesus in the same summer. I talk a lot about how my identity played into what relationships I got into, what I thought I was worth, who I thought I was, and you talked about a little bit about that, like, perfectionism, achievement, wanting to be the best at everything, like, feeling the pressure to do that growing up as a teenager. So, can you tell us a little bit about your struggle with identity? Like, what were some lies that you believed? Mm-hmm. Because that's what a struggle with identity is believing lies over the truth.
Yeah, so as I really had to think about this, because this question, I was like, I don't know what I believed about myself, but I came up with, like, four key things that I think still, like, come into my life today, even as, like, a faithful woman of the Lord. And the lies that I believe about myself were, I am what I do, I am what I have, I am what people think of me, and I am what's been done to me.
And I think this is true.
Hold up, say those again, because they're really good.
I am what I do, I am what I have, I am what people think of me, and I am what what's been done to me. And I think this is true of all of us, whether we follow the Lord or not, right? We're very insecure human beings, and we don't know that our identity has already been given to us and bought for us by the blood of Jesus. And I believe that, like, these lies in my life stem from not having consistent godly role models, and, like, being influenced just by, like, how I perceived the world to be. And nobody ever challenged me on my worldview, like, until that summer at camp when I was like, oh, everything doesn't flow out of what I do. Everything doesn't flow out of what I have. Everything doesn't flow out of what people think of me or what's been done to me. Like, everything flows out of Jesus.
Really good. Love that. Those are all those four categories. Like, I really think that everyone can relate to one of those. Like, if you're achievement oriented, like, you are what you do. And when you don't do something good or productive, you feel like you were a failure that day. If you are what you have, greed can come into that, and pride can come into that if you're talking about, like, what gifts and talents you've been given and what other people think about you. I mean, we were not created to be everyone's cup of tea all the time, so inevitably your identity will be shaken by what someone thinks about you. And what's been done to you, we talked about that a lot on the podcast in earlier episodes about trauma and how trauma affects relationships and things like that. So, yeah, those four lies are really, really good. And I think it's important that you clarify that they don't flow from Jesus, that Jesus has a different way. So I kind of want to transition into talking about how you coped with those lies. You believed those lies as a teenager. So how did you cope with them when you didn't know Jesus? And how did that change once you met him?
Right. So before I had a relationship with Jesus, I tried to cope with all of those lies by being perfect, in a sense. So this all also blended in with being a twin, which I think being a twin is, like, one of the greatest gifts ever now that we're, like, adults and
followers of Jesus, but being a twin in high school was, like, really hard.
Really hard, y'all. If you're a twin, holler at us.
Yeah.
Because you get it.
Yeah, really hard. I felt the weight of comparison heavy on my heart, like, in any situation. And, like, I joke all the time, like, Sammy is pretty much better at most things. Like, if you can get a grade or a score for it, Sammy is mostly better at them. So,
it was probably Satan trying to make us hate each other, right. Honestly.
So, I struggle with that still in adulthood, but mostly in high school. And because of that weight of comparison, I wanted to do everything perfect, everything better than you and everybody else. And if I didn't do that, I wasn't good enough. So perfectionism became such a thing for me that I got my worth from my achievements. And I ultimately ended up, like, Sammy can attest to this, I had, like, extreme anxiety, really bad OCD.
Like, for real, y'all. Like it manifested itself in those. Like, she's not exaggerating. Mm-hmm.
So, it surrounded, perfectionism surrounded every area of my life, and I became obsessed with it. And so I wanted acceptance and affection so badly that I looked for it in grades, sports, boys, friends, and thought, surely these things are to deem me worthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as I've grown in faith, I've learned that I can't even strive for perfectionism because there's no part of me, my sinful human self, that is good, right? And nothing I do will define me as righteous, made right with the Lord. And so the good in me, because there is good in me, but that's the Holy Spirit. That's not me. He works in my heart and in my life and in my relationships, and that is what I have to offer people. Nothing within myself. I have the Holy Spirit in me, and that's what I can offer people.
I think that really, it's cool to hear. I love hearing people's testimonies. I obviously know Misha's testimony, but she really did change once she met Jesus, and the way that, like, her anxiety was different. She learned how to cope with identity struggles by not just, like, coping with them, but by replacing them with truths that are found in the Bible. So that's a really, we talk about that a lot on this podcast and in all of the content that we put out. But what, Misha, if you, like, were talking to a young girl who was in the same headspace mentally as you were in and is looking for something more, like, what advice would you give that person?
Well, the top piece of encouragement I would give would be that there is, in fact, more. That things don't have to stay the way they are right now, and that there is freedom and wholeness and promise and more to be found in Christ. And a practical piece of advice that I would give in finding that would be to take time to invest in becoming self-aware. And the more you become aware of your motivations and what drives you to make decisions and to do certain things, the more you can fight the lies that drive those actions or behaviors or decisions. So that's one of the reasons why I'm super passionate about the Enneagram. Because I think that if we become self-aware, we really realize how sinful we are, and that points us back to the hope to be found in Jesus, because, like, he is perfect, and he has all of the things that I severely lack. So, if you want me to talk more about the Enneagram, do I have space to do that?
I mean, yeah, just tell us, because I know, like, a lot of the controversy surrounding it is, like, it's another, like, self-help tool that
really, in a way, people can use to replace faith, because they're kind of trying to, like, fix themselves.
Yeah.
So I would like to affirm that, like, all of those reasons for being wary of the Enneagram are, like, totally justified, because there's a lot of content and teaching, especially on, like, Instagram, any other social media, that, like, frankly sucks. And I think that's one of the reasons why I think that it's so important to come into the space of Enneagram content and, like, fill it with the gospel. Because it is such a good tool. It just, like any other tool, it has to be used the right way. So, the Enneagram is basically, it's not for self-salvation. But I think in order to grow, you do have to be aware. So the Enneagram is 9 basic personality types based upon their unique ways of relating to the world. So the Enneagram accurately and clearly describes why you think, feel, and behave in particular ways based on your core fears and your core desires. So each of the 9 types has a core fear and a core desire. And that affects how they view and perceive the world around them. So I believe that the power of the Enneagram lies in its comprehensive ability to put language to sin in my life, sin in Sammy's life. It's been such a gift to my relationship with the Lord and with those close to me, and it's one of the best tools that I've ever found to point myself to Jesus and away from myself, because nobody wants to point to themselves when you realize, like, how sucky you are. So it just is, like, a great thing to, like, be aware about. So, for example, I'm an 8. We talked about that earlier, and my core fear is being weak or powerless. That's, like, I'm driven by not wanting to be weak and powerless. And I want to protect myself. So once I identified and had language to describe this about myself, I was able to observe how that lie would affect my life. So the lie that I would always be betrayed impacted my relationship, 1, with God, and 2, with others. I always am looking for betrayal, and because of that, it's not my natural inclination to trust people or God. And that's a problem, because God is trustworthy. People, like, will disappoint me, and they aren't trustworthy all the time. But if I'm putting my hope in the Lord, I can trust Him. I will not be betrayed. And, like, my heart needs to hear that more so than somebody who is, for example, a 2 on the Enneagram. Their heart needs to hear another message from the Lord, just based on what we struggle with. So now I get to work on being free from the lie and the fear that I'm going to be unprotected, or that being vulnerable leaves me too weak to function, because I can be vulnerable with the Lord, and I am protected by His love. So I can ask God specifically, like, Lord, please, gently, because I'll be annoyed if you don't, but, like, teach me to relinquish control and guard me as I learn how to do this. Yeah, that's really good. So, yeah, I mean, I agree. I think the Enneagram has been super helpful. I think a lot of the times, it can be seen as, like, a pop culture, like, a fad or whatever you want to call it, but I think it is helpful to identify lies you believe, and then also just not being willing to, like, stay in that space. Mm-hmm. Like, once you realize you believe the lies, it's like, okay, well, that's not what God created you to believe. Mm-hmm. Like, He created you uniquely, but because of the fall and brokenness, this is how those lies are manifesting in your life.
Right, and I think, like,
because, like, you look at the Enneagram, it does help with, like, becoming self-aware to the point that, like, I will always be an 8 because that's, like, my sin. But if I'm aware of my sin and the lies that drive me, like, I can move out of them. Like you were saying, I can become healthier. And, like, I always say, Jesus is, like, all the good things about all 9 Enneagram types rolled into one. He has all of what we need. And so, like, being able to move out of my type, per se, and into other characteristics that Jesus possesses that, like, I really, like, need to strive for, but I can get there.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that kind of leads me into our next question. You're talking a lot about the work you've done in your own life to identify lies, try to replace them, move out of them, rely on Jesus to do that. So, do you still struggle with lies about your identity, even though you're actively, intentionally doing that, or have they just went away?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that, the fighting of the lies and believing the lies does not stop when you meet Jesus. Like, mm-hmm. if anything, it gets worse mm-hmm. because you're aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I, like, refer to following Jesus as a fight, because this isn't, like, a path, and also because I'm an 8 on the Enneagram and we like to fight, but
there are other terms that have been used for them are the aggressor.
Yeah, so that's why I use that word, is because, like, this is not a passive activity, right? Like, I need to be active in my relationship with Jesus. So the lies that I believed about myself before I became a Christian are definitely still there, like I talked about, but the Holy Spirit has worked in me in a lot of ways and has healed a lot of those, which is super painful, by the way. If you think healing is easy, it's, like, not the most fun. Mm-hmm. But as I live as this new creation, new lies still creep in because I'm human, and I'm sinful, and new ones have the same themes, and some of these lies that I believe that I've identified are grace is not enough to reconcile me, or I need to keep working for God's love. Another one is God doesn't see me in my struggle, or God is holding out on me. And the last one I have is that God isn't speaking to me. So those are just some lies that I think as I pursue Jesus, they creep in.
Yeah, that's really good. I think your point about, I mean, healing is not easy. It is painful. And it's, I mean, we talk about this, I think, in, like, every podcast I have ever done. But, like, the process of how God prunes us and sanctifies us, like, it doesn't stop ever. Like through the entirety of when we're on this earth, we're going to be being pruned and sanctified and being made aware of our sin and how we can be more like Jesus. So, yeah, I mean, I think, like, for our listeners, it's really important for you to, like, let that truth soak into you that, like, grace is enough to cover who you are, that you don't have to work to earn God's love, and that God does see you, and that even in the midst of the pain and it being hard, He's working in your life, and he doesn't just leave you to do it by yourself. Like, the hard work does not have to be done by yourself. So don't believe the lie that once you come to know Jesus that all of those lies are gonna automatically disappear, because new ones are gonna keep popping up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna give the next question that I really want to fit in to this conversation, and it's really about how your identity has played into your relationships. So talk to me a little bit about
your relationship now, that so Meech is engaged to be married next year in 2020. So talk to me a little bit about your relationship now, and then also, like, have you ever been in a relationship where you were searching for your identity in that other person?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I've totally been in relationships where I was searching for my identity in that other person. Your identity plays into literally every interaction that you have, but it especially impacts your deepest relationships because God created us to be social beings, right? In Genesis, he says it's not good for man to be alone. So we're made for relationships, and human community is one of the primary ways that we reflect God's image, and they're essential to life. So, but the problem comes whenever our sin messes with our ability to pursue relationships in a healthy way. And, like, any relationship you have, sin is gonna do that. It's just, are you aware of it, and are you willing to do the work to move out of it? So, I think, like, I have been in dating relationships where I've done that prior to being engaged, but, like, two things I want to point out is, like, children and marriages are probably the two most frequently occurring locations for, like, misplaced identity.
Mm.
So, like, we attempt to find our identity in our children, or we attempt to find our identity in our spouse. So, dating. So, for example, if you're in a romantic relationship, we tend to feel the most alive when our significant other gives us praise and affection, and we quickly become, like, annoyed and discouraged or irritated when we feel ignored or taken for granted. And that's because often we place our identity in those close to us or those who we feel responsible for, aka our children. And that leaves you feeling empty. So it's not good for you. But more importantly, it's taking advantage of that other person, and it's not loving them how they were made to be loved if you're using them to love yourself. So I think that's an important distinction, but I have definitely done that. I still fall into that sometimes. So yeah, it's like a big struggle, but something that the Lord has been teaching me a lot, because I'm engaged and, like, I'm in a relationship I would consider fairly healthy, new, but healthy. And I'm super thankful for that, because it wasn't until I've always, like, wanted to be married. It wasn't until I realized the gift of singleness that I stopped trying to justify myself through romance. And now I view relationships very differently than I did before. They're not for me. They're to serve that other person. Personally, I lived way too long believing that men simply, like, used women and were incapable of appreciating our womanhood, because, like, there are great things about us that, like, I thought they didn't appreciate, and that we were kind of, like, tools and not something to be treasured. And as I sit here talking to you today, I'm, like, so thankful that I'm engaged to be married to a man with a deep love for God and his ways, and who has character that reflects Jesus's image. I think when you're in a relationship that's, like, healthy and helps you heal from past failures of misplaced identity or past traumas, like, they teach you to lean in during hard moments instead of pushing away through, like, trust. And they teach you to look back on all that God has brought you through, all of that misplaced identity and all of that trauma, and, like,
see that he brought you through it and trust him together to do that again in your relationship. And it's all about, like, loving, supporting, and running with someone for the good of other people and for God's glory.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the important, I like how you made the distinction that, like, you even have fallen into that trap of placing your identity places where it shouldn't be placed while you've been following Jesus. Because, I mean, that's why the first commandment in the Bible is, or of the Ten Commandments, is, like, you shall have no other gods before, like, I am the Lord your God, you know, because God knows the inclination of our heart to be like, oh, this thing makes me feel really good. Like, for example, that Mish said affirmation or praise from your significant other, makes you feel good instantaneously. Like, that's what happens. That's why physical relationships are such an issue. Like, physical intimacy where you should not be having physical intimacy is so tempting because it makes you feel good instantly, and we want that, and God knows the inclination of our hearts to go after that and seek it in other places besides him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I always, like, think about the verse in Mark that talks about, like, love the Lord your God with all mm-hmm. your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind, because, like, I cannot love my fiancé unless I love God first, and in the same way he can't love me how I'm created to be loved unless he loves God first. Like, ladies, date and marry somebody, I want to clap, but I'm not going to. Date and marry somebody who challenges you to do more of what makes you holy, mm-hmm. like, who pushes you away from sin and challenges you, and, like, it's not about your happiness, it's about your holiness.
Which, and I always say, like, happiness is not the goal of your dating relationship, your marriage, whatever. Like, it's a byproduct of it. When you're doing holy things, you get the byproduct of happiness mm-hmm. without really searching for it. It comes because you're being obedient.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I want to say, too, like we're on the topic of healthy relationships, the health of a relationship. There is a level of health in a relationship where, like, affirmation and praise are good. Like, don't date someone if they never affirm you and praise you.
I need a lot of affirmation.
Like, that's,
Caleb, if you're listening to this, affirm me, please.
No, affirmation is really good, and that's why we're given other people to be in relationship mm-hmm. with, because God, again, knows our hearts and knows that we need to tangibly hear from someone who loves us, who's following him, who we are and what we're worth and how much we're loved. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us, you know, I don't know about you, Amish, are, like, people listening to this, but I have heard God tangibly speak to me once in my whole life since I've known him. Some people will go their whole lives without ever hearing.
Right, and that's why one of those lies that I pointed out was that God isn't speaking to me, but, like, I don't hear God audibly. Like, I hear a human being, but I hear him through what it looks like outside on a certain day. I hear him through a child who says something extremely profound to me. I hear him through you talking to me about identity. Like, we hear him, and we don't get to decide if God speaks to us. Like, mm-hmm. he does.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of, are we aware of it?
Mm-hmm.
Do we pay attention? Are we attentive?
Mm-hmm.
Things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think again, your point about love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength.
and the Gospel of Mark, like, that needs to be the foundation of not only our lives and our identities and what we're all about, but also, like, what our relationships are about. I just texted my husband today and was like, I realize how much I've learned about Jesus through how he pursues Jesus. And that's something that, like, you should be looking for in a relationship, is to have someone who affirms and teaches you more about how much God loves you and cherishes you and treasures you as a child, mm-hmm. knows how to do that, cares about how to do it in a way that you'll receive it, and challenges you to be better, to prune sin out of your life, to be authentic and vulnerable in what you struggle with and bring those things into the light. Like that's what you need to be searching for, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Can I add one other thing?
Yes.
Okay, so one other point that I really was thinking about is, like, for those of you who, like, follow Jesus and, you know, run on mission, like, I love that, and I also am passionate about that, like, but your idea, I constantly being, like, a doer, I have to remind myself all the time, like, mission is what I do from day to day, but my identity is what can't be altered or taken from me, and there's a difference. So, like, instead of being, like, oh, I'm gonna run on mission and, like, do all these big things for God, like, we need to first believe, like, God has already done the biggest thing for me. And, like, everything you do, like I was saying in the beginning, like, I realize, like, everything I do flows out of who Jesus is. So just making that distinction, like, your identity is not what you do for God. Your identity is what God has done for you.
Mm. Awesome. Yeah, that's really good. Okay, as we're wrapping up here, I want you to share with us, Meej, one thing that you're loving, like a book, a podcast you're really loving, something that has been helping you in your engagement to, like, grow and prepare for marriage.
Okay, well, I'm really loving, I'm, like, low-key obsessed with her, Jess Connelly.
Mm.
She's a fellow 8 on the Enneagram. I met her once, and pretty sure she was, like, call the police. Misha's obsessed with me. But she's, like, one of my favorite authors. She's coming out with a new book soon. Her Instagram is, like, fire. Definitely look her up. But she just talks about, like, what it means to be a woman in the kingdom of God, and, like, whether that's in, like, her marriage, as a mom, as a church woman, like, it, she just, like, talks about all these different facets of being a woman of faith, and she's also, like, feisty and sassy and passionate, which, like, I relate to.
Yeah, so, her and her husband are church planters, too, which is really cool.
They are, and, yeah.
And they run their church together.
They do.
Which is awesome. I love her, too. Big fan.
Big fan. I'm even, like, Caleb, on our honeymoon, we're going to where her church is. Like, can we go? I don't think I've asked him that. I think I've asked him that in my head, but we're going to go.
Yeah, I'll tag her in the show notes and put a link to her website and stuff, because it is really good content. Like, fire.
Straight content.
Straight fire. Okay, Meech, where can people find you? I know you're most active on Instagram, so what's your Insta name so we can follow along?
Instagram name is Meech Franks, and I would love, like, I love sharing my life on Instagram. I, like, am a big proponent for using social media to, like, view life through a healthy and godly lens. So yeah, would love it if you followed along, but follow Jess Connelly before you follow him, because she's great.
All right, Meech, well, thank you so much for being here and chatting with us, and to the listeners, who are tuning into this episode, if you guys have not given us a rating on iTunes. We would just really appreciate that. It helps other people to hear about the You Were Made For More message and what we're all about, and to get content that allows them to replace lies about their identity with truth that's found in scripture. It allows them to know more about Jesus, to learn more about him, to learn what it means to pursue him and honor him in their relationships. And we would just really appreciate it. It takes like 2 seconds. You don't even have to write anything. But if you do, I mean, I'll read it. I love reading them. But we would love if you would do that. You can also follow us on social media. At all of our handles are at Abundant Life YM. Yeah, we would love for you guys to do that and to hear what you're loving. And we just love you guys. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Meech, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And I'm Sammy, and I will see you guys on our next show. Thanks for tuning in.